Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Time for another round with Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Oh, you know that sound? You know that means it's time to talk some football, some college football. A little wagering going on with our good friend, the guru, Phil Steele. Phil, what's going on?
Hey, guys, wow, what a weekend, huh? Oregon upsetting Ohio State.
Yeah.
Arkansas blowing out Texas. We had some big upsets last week.
No, it was crazy. Before we get to this week's slate of games, let me ask you about two teams that I want to get your read on just kind of going forward. What do you make of Iowa, who has scored 61 points and has 476 total yards on the year? What do I make of them? I know they're great defensively. They're getting a lot of turnovers. I think they already have three defensive scores this year. I don't know if that can last, but what do I make of a team who looks really tough? I know they're well coached. They're good on defense, but their offense, it certainly doesn't look as good as the points they've generated.
Yeah, well, they have taken on two really good defenses in Indiana and Iowa State, and they've led the majority of those games. You take a look at the Indiana game, they get out to a 31-3 halftime lead and basically put it away in the second half. Played real conservative. This is an Iowa team that down the stretch last year, I mean, they lost their first two games by 4 and 1 point, and then they just blew out their next six opponents. Had they been able to play Michigan and Missouri, I think they would have been 8-2 and in the top 10. So I'm bullish on Iowa, but like this week against Kent State, laying over three touchdowns with an offense averaging 238 yards per game, I don't know if they'll get the turnovers that they've been getting the last couple of weeks, but I do think they're a quality team.
Okay, what do you think of Washington? Are they broke, or are they just down so many skill position players right now? I think you just answered the question.
Yeah, they're a frustrating team to me. I had them as my number one surprise team. I usually hit home runs with that pick, and opening up 0-2 is really rough. But I'll tell you what, they play Arkansas State, then they get Cal at home, Oregon State. If they can get past UCLA in week six, all of a sudden, you know, they haven't lost a Pac-12 game yet. So I still think they're in contention, but their offense didn't look good. The thing about the Michigan game, they only outgained by 44 yards. You know, that fake punt by Michigan up 3-0. Next play, they get a 60-yard touchdown. Washington got stopped on downs. Only they did put up 343 yards. So I still have hope that they can turn it around, but they got to start playing better, doggone it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. All right, let's get to the games this week. First one, you mentioned Iowa and who they've played. They played Indiana. Indiana plays Cincinnati this weekend at home. They're getting 4 points. And you mentioned Indiana's defense, and I still like Indiana. They didn't have it against Iowa. They just got outplayed in that game. The two pick sixes made the score look lopsided, but Iowa's defense just took them apart. Cincinnati, on the other hand, has played nobody. It didn't look very good last week in Murray. I think it was 7-7 at half, and were the beneficiaries of 5 turnovers in that game, and they extended late and beat Murray State, which, you know, you expected them to do. I don't know. I mean, Indiana's already lost once to a big-time opponent. This is a top-10 team visiting Bloomington. I kind of like Indiana getting 4 here. How do you see it?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised the spread's over a field goal for this game because, as you mentioned, Indiana is a top-notch team. They've got a very good defense. I think Michael Penix will get better every week the more he gets over that ACL from last year. And, you know, Cincinnati at the half last week was tied with Murray State. Murray State actually had a 190-83 yard edge on them in the first half.
Wow.
So, yeah, they were clearly looking ahead to this game, but also that tells you a little something about them. Now, they dominated the second half as you thought they would. They put up 300 yards in the second half. I think this is a tight, low-scoring ball game, probably decided by a field goal. Therefore, if you're getting over a field goal with the home team, I would lean with Indiana in this one. I do think Cincinnati right now is a slightly better team, but I'll take the home dog.
Got it.
Phil Steele with us on the UMA guest line. Phil, SEC against out of conference teams, you know, it just seems like you always want to lean with the SEC, but this is a good one. Auburn and Happy Valley mentioned before the whiteout. You know, Bo Nix has not been great on the road. Two strong defenses. I don't know if I can pick a side here, but I love the under. What side are you on?
I definitely like Penn State in this one. I think when you look at Auburn, you hit it right on the head. Bo Nix at home, 20 touchdown passes, one interception, undefeated. On the road, this guy's got a losing record. He's got 12 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions. That's not very good. Now, I know they put up 60 and 62 points, but that was Akron. That was Alabama State. This is a completely different animal. And Penn State, after that first half against Wisconsin, when they didn't play very well, they dominated the second half. In the second half, they had a 200-yard edge and pulled away, winning that one 16-10. They took on a Ball State team that won eight straight games and just slapped them last week, 44-13, and the stats reflect that. They're at home. It's whiteout against a quarterback that could get unnerved. I definitely think Penn State's a better team. They're the more experienced team, and they're laying less than a touchdown, only 5 points here, 4.5 in some spots. I like Penn State in that one.
I want to get your thoughts on the Ohio State-Tulsa game. Ohio State's a big favorite, but I'm curious, Phil, what do you think of Ohio State's defense? Ryan Day said that it's a problem, but it's a quick fix to the problem. They did not look good against Oregon last week. Credit to Oregon, but Ohio State helped that process along. Is the fix simple and quick, or is that just Ryan Day trying to put on a brave front for his defense?
You know, they have the players. They are just loaded with five stars across the board. The scheme, I thought, really was bad last week. A lot of anytime Oregon ran to the left, they had seemed to have an open field, you know, on the short side of the field, and it was just ugly. And this goes back even last year. Ohio State's defense wasn't great. They gave up 402 yards per game. I thought they'd be a lot better, but they're not. 457 yards per game. Tulsa had Oklahoma State. They beat them by 7 last week on the road. My biggest question mark with Tulsa plus the points in this game is quarterback Davis Brin. I like Brin. I think he'll do well, but he's got 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And this is an Ohio State offense that got stopped on downs 3 times last week. They put up 612 yards. Had they not got stopped on downs, maybe they win that game at home. They're angry. They only have Akron on deck. So it's a game where Ohio State could step up, but they're going to have to play a lot better defense if they're going to be a contender for the playoff.
What do you think about Fresno State and UCLA? Fresno catching 11. I looked at the stats from the Oregon-Fresno game, and they played them tooth and nail. Oregon had to come from behind to win that game, and the yardage says that was no fluke. That Fresno's pretty good defensively. Hayner's playing some really good ball there at quarterback. And I love UCLA this year. I think UCLA's really good. I'm just wondering how you – maybe this is what I just watch because it might be a good game, but if I'm inclined, I'd probably lean to Fresno getting 11. How do you see it?
Yeah, Fresno has been very impressive this year. You hit it right on the head with that Oregon game. It's a game they led 24-21 in the fourth quarter. They outgained Oregon. They out-first-downed Oregon, and Oregon turned out to be a pretty good team, as they showed last week with Ohio State. And UCLA has got this as a factor. It is their first week ranked, I think, in 4 years. So yes, they were ranked last week, but they didn't play. I've got 64% of the time, teams that are ranked for the first time in 4 years or more end up losing that game against the spread. So Fresno's got that working for them. They've got the fact that they've actually won the last three games that they played against Oregon. And they've also got going for them the fact that you know, their offense has been rolling at 527 yards per game. So I like Fresno State plus the points in this one, and I think it's going to be a great game.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Phil, Bama, Florida, you know, I mean, two teams in the top 11, I guess. Gators are 11. Bryce Young has just been incredible. I mean, and Bama looks like they can just score at will. Now they get the Gators. The Gators have two quarterbacks, one who can run it. Bama's not going to have Will Anderson, I don't believe. The linebacker's got a knee injury, and he has been spectacular. Who do you like in that one? That, to me, that seems like a shootout.
Yeah, probably without Allen and Anderson, a linebacker, but they are very deep. You know, Henry Toa came over from Tennessee as a leading tackler and had a tough time even breaking into the starting lineup. This is a very deep Alabama linebacking core. I think they'll be fine in that area. And this is the area that Alabama usually does best, is when they go on the road and it's expected to be a tight game, that's when they play their best. They've got a great record as an underdog. And I realize they're a two-touchdown favorite here, but a lot of folks talking about how good Florida is. You go back to the SEC championship game last year, Alabama had a pretty good-sized lead in that one. Florida made a comeback to pull within six. But this Bama defense is probably the best defense they've had in 4 or 5 years, and I think the offense can get it done. And they're going to be motivated just as much as Florida is by the swamp. They're going to be excited by the crowd being super loud. So I'm going to go with the Tide minus the points in that one.
The guru, Mr. Phil Steele, joining us as he does every week here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. We pick his brain. He talks to all the coaches. He knows this stuff about the world of college football, and we are better for it. Arizona State made some strides last year. They're good. Good enough now here in 2021 to go on the road to Provo and be a 3.5-point favorite. BYU, I think, shocked some people, impressed some people with their win over Utah last week. I think this is going to be a fun game. But is Utah, are they really to ready to step up and go on the road and fulfill what the at least the lines makers think is they're the better team and they should play like it?
Yeah, and last week Utah was a 7-point favorite, and Arizona State's regarded pretty much in the same level as Utah, and now they're only 3.5. I'll tell you, BYU did impress me last week. I thought Utah was going to be able to go in there. They had won 9 straight in the series. I wasn't overwhelmed with BYU against Arizona. I know they got out to the 21-3 lead and then sort of let Arizona back in that game, but very impressive. Jaren Hall has looked great at the quarterback, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and he's run for 128 yards. The defense played extremely well. And with Arizona State, they're going into the altitude. That's going to be tough for them. And they really haven't played anybody yet. You know, at the half last week, they only led 14-10 against UNLV. Did turn it on in the second half. They had a 15-1 first down edge second half. But I think BYU's got a shot at yet another upset. They gained a lot of confidence with that win over Utah. And now the fans are going to be even louder than last week.
Michigan State travels to South Florida to take on the Hurricanes. And I don't know about you, Phil, but Miami's been battle-tested. I mean, Bama, Appy State, and Michigan State basically has only played Northwestern, who I don't think is very good this year. They got to go down there and play in the heat. I just see a team that'll wilt in that heat, and I think Miami's due for a game that maybe we thought we'd see from them, maybe against Appy State. But Appy State's scrappy, and they're good defensively, and they're hard to play against. I just think this sets up nicely for Miami. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think Appalachian State's going to be a team that wins the Sun Belt this year, and that's beating out Coastal Carolina, beating Louisiana, probably the best team in the Sun Belt. And they were catching Miami off that game against Alabama. Mm-hmm. Alabama sometimes can beat you twice and almost beat Miami. But Miami came back and got that field goal at the end of the game. I think that's going to give them a lot of confidence. And I do agree with you 100%. I think Miami plays their best game of the season right here against Michigan State. And while Michigan State's been impressive, Northwestern was the least experienced team in the country, and Youngstown State, well, they're an FCS school. I like Miami to win this one by over a touchdown, and I do think the fourth quarter belongs to Miami in that heat.
Phil, we got to hear your thought on Stanford. How about Tanner McKee, man? I mean, first guy to defeat a ranked opponent on the road in his first career start since 07, Tevita Pritchard. Now they take Vandy in on the road, and Dave Shaw told us, you know, Vandy says that Stanford's not the toughest team they'll play because they're going to play some tough teams in the SEC. What side do you like here? It's Stanford minus 11.
Yeah, normally I like to take it go against a team coming off a big win like that, but Stanford was off such a horrible loss against Kansas State. They needed a thing like that. And the thing that impressed me was, you know, in August, I wanted Tanner McKee to take that position. And in the opener, he split in snaps with Jack West, and that was ugly. McKee took that position last week. They dominated USC, won it by 14. I don't think they're going to let that game affect them here this week. And here's an interesting stat for you. I know Vandy came back and pulled out the game against Colorado State. But did you know at the half last week in that Vanderbilt-Colorado State game, Colorado State had 305 yards and Vandy had 120. Somehow, some way, Colorado State left them in the game and they were able to come back and win. And remember, 2 weeks ago, Eastern Tennessee State sort of outplayed them in that 23-3 win. I just think Stanford's the much better team. Vanderbilt's home crowd is never going to bother anybody, and they're not going to bother Stanford here. I'll lay the 12 points with Stanford on the road.
Does Oklahoma got to keep it quiet. Got to keep it quiet. People are studying on campus, Phil. Can't be too loud.
That's a good one.
Does Oklahoma beat the brakes off of Nebraska?
Yeah, you go back to that 1971 game, number one against number two, 35-31. What a game. Now we've got Oklahoma's maybe offensively to the level of that Oklahoma team, but Nebraska's nowhere near that Nebraska team. And they did beat Buffalo, and probably could have beaten Buffalo worse in the final score. They had a couple touchdowns called back on penalty. At the end of the game, they had a what was called an illegal forward pass, which Scott Frost was so upset he called two timeouts to yell at the referee and then kicked a field goal.
That's
on the last
what happened.
Play of the game.
Oh,
and
that's why he did it.
Then for Nebraska, they couldn't even make the field goal. They missed it.
Yeah, they missed it.
So I think if you stop Adrian Martinez, you can do well. Yeah. And with Oklahoma, I know that Tulane game was close, but remember, it was 37-14 at the half. In fact, Oklahoma had scored 37 straight points. I think they put the hammer down this week. I like the Sooners minus the three touchdowns.
Normally, I don't like to go pure scheduling, but I got to ask you about this one because there is nothing in Georgia Southern's first two games that should indicate they're going to stay close to Arkansas. Other than the fact, Arkansas just came off a monster victory over Texas, dominated in every facet of the game. Now they play a team who doesn't look to be very good this year, and then they have Texas A&M next week. If that's not a classic sandwich spot, I don't know what is. I just don't know if Georgia Southern's good enough to stay within the 23.5. How do you see that one?
Well, here's two things that should make you comfortable with this one, Tommy. First of all, Arkansas, the last six times they've won a game and been favored the next week, they're 0-6 against the spread. They've lost them all. So that's a good thing you got going for you. You correctly pointed out that you can't get a much bigger sandwich. Texas, they were talking about in June, July, August. It was the biggest game on their schedule. They played like it, and now that A&M, Georgia, Mississippi, Auburn the next 4 weeks, those are all huge. And Georgia Southern, I mean, they're going to have a tough time turning on the tape and convincing the team this is a game. Georgia Southern gets back their quarterback, though, this week. Justin Tomlin, their QB, was suspended the first 2 weeks. So they've been using Amari Jones in the Wildcat, Cam Ransom, who wasn't going to be the starter, and they've struggled offensively without him. But now they get back Justin Tomlin this week, who would have beaten out Shea Wirtz for the job, but he not got injured last year. I think it's a completely different Georgia Southern team. Plus, nobody likes to play the option with the cut blocking, so Arkansas's defensive front seven is going to be worried about their knees. Yep. And Georgia Southern's slow-down offense will eat up the clock, which really helps an underdog. So you got a lot of good favors, a lot of good things in your favor in this one. I like Georgia Southern plus the 23.5, 24 points.
Got it. Last one. I don't generally ask you totals. We usually stick to gains, but one that jumped out at me was Minnesota and Colorado. How are these teams going to get? I missed the best number. It was 51. I think it's down to about 48.5 now. But how are they both going to get in the 20s in this game if there isn't turnovers?
Yeah, you know, Minnesota looked great in the opening game when they played Ohio State. You know, they put up 408 yards. When they had Mo Ibrahim running.
Yep.
And last week, Trey Potts stepped in and had like 150, 160 yards for Minnesota's run game. But Colorado does have a very good defense. Minnesota does not have Texas A&M's defense. And A&M's defense, one of the best in the country. Minnesota's defense is, I'm going to say, average at best. So that's one of those games where I could see it getting up towards the total, but I would lean with the under in this one. But like I said, I think when you look at Colorado, they played an A&M team with a backup quarterback and a great defense. Now they're taking on a Minnesota team that's got a big offensive line and an average defense.
Got it. All right, last one. We'll be sitting around watching the Tube tomorrow night. UCF travels to Louisville, who's getting 7, maybe 6.5 in some places now. How do you see that one?
That's a tough one for me to call. I think when you look at UCF, they're the better team. remember last year Louisville had four key players on their side. They had the quarterback, Cunningham. They had the top running back, Javian Hawkins. They had the top two receivers in Des Fitzpatrick and Tutu Atwell. Well, Hawkins is gone. Fitzpatrick's gone. Atwell's gone. They just have Cunningham back. And they're sort of struggling without their other threats. Cunningham has only got a 2-1 ratio so far this year. Hasn't turned the ball over like he did last year, which was their main problem. But their defense has been just average. I think UCF's the better team, but it's also one of those sort of must-win games for Louisville at home. So I like UCF to come out on top, but probably something right around the spread.
Got it. Phil, thank you so much. We always appreciate it. Best of luck this week, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds great, guys. Always a lot of fun talking football with you guys.
Thanks,
absolutely,
Phil.
So much fun to talk to Phil still.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.